The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Long Island, and welcome to DDI and Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, and again, so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. Well, my guest this morning is Christine M. Kondo. Christine was diagnosed with autism in 2015 at the age of 42. She is an outspoken neurodiversity advocate who works to dismantle stereotypes and debunk myths about autism through her writing. Christine has written for Lay Press and online autism support organizations and has been published in the Washington Post, Autism Parenting, and Neuroclastic. Welcome, Christine.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm always particularly excited to have a guest who can speak directly to the issue of being on the spectrum. It's so much nicer than hearing information secondhand. And, you know, on your blog, on your website, you really cover so many issues. And I think listeners like myself are going to be interested in what came about to allow for a later life diagnosis, which used to be rare. And now I got to tell you, I'm seeing more and more often. So if you don't mind, please tell us a little bit about your own story.
Sure. Yeah. I had just started a graduate program later in life as an adult. And unlike the undergrad, I was not doing well. I wasn't doing well in my classes, wasn't doing well in the lab. And while I had suspected that I might have Asperger's or be on the spectrum up to that point, I hadn't really thought that it was impacting my education until I was suddenly just really struggling. And so I think December of that semester, and I wound up leaving the program, wasn't a good fit, but December of that semester is when I went in and got a full battery of tests and got my autism diagnosis. And it was a big deal. Big deal.
So let's talk about what was the relationship between your struggles and your challenges. To what extent do you see it as a direct function of being on the spectrum? What was that intersection? What was the impact of being on the spectrum on those challenges?
Yeah. That's a great question, because it was difficult even for me to sort of wrap my head around it. I discovered that what I'd been doing is that I'd been having some executive function problems that I had been compensating for by just learning everything, which is fine as a strategy, you know, in college, as an undergrad, but you just can't do that. When you're a grad student, one of the things you have to learn to do is to prioritize the information, decide how much of the 1,000 pages of reading a week you're actually going to read, and come up with strategies for testing hypotheses. And these are all sort of like higher order level tasks that I had never really been, had never really needed to engage in order to be successful. So once that became required, my old strategies just fell apart. I couldn't keep up. I was starting to have some reading comprehension issues because my ability to compensate for my autism was being compromised by how fatigued and run down and overworked I was. And, you know, I barely made it out of that semester with passing grades. And I mean, in a way, I feel like it was a blessing. It showed me that I was, you know, maybe not pursuing the right line of education for me, but it was also pretty traumatic. I had never been so unsuccessful in an educational context. And so it was a really difficult experience. And I was really desperate by the time I found my way into that set of tests, into the diagnostic process.
You know, when you mentioned being challenged around executive functioning, which is kind of interesting, especially for a student, was that in relationship to reading? This might sound very stereotypical, but was that in relationship to being able to read social cues. Was that the area of executive functioning that was undermined in some way, or no?
Well, that's a great question, because undoubtedly that had an impact. When I went to college back in the 90s and got my first college degree, that was a huge factor. But by the time I had returned to school for a second degree, this time a Bachelor of Science in Animal Sciences, actually, I had been compensating for my social challenges for about two decades, not quite, maybe 18 years. And so that actually wasn't a major factor, other than it exacts a bit of a cognitive toll. I can't run on autopilot. Like, even talking to you right now, I'm having to think about making sure that my tone of voice comes across properly, that my facial expressions match what I'm saying, that my eye contact isn't unnerving, either because there's none or there's too much. So those definitely contributed to the cognitive load. But my challenges were with trying to wrap my brain around the volume of material that you're exposed to as a graduate student, which is exponentially greater than what you're expected to interface with as an undergrad.
Well, I think that's true. And I think also one of the demands of a graduate school student is to go beyond content understanding to an analytical approach. So that it's more than just loading up on content, is what I'm struggling for, but it's really being able to critically think about that content as well. And usually that requires a point of reference that's going to be based in not only your thoughts, but someone else's. And that's where I think that potential challenge, if not a disconnect, between someone on the spectrum and maybe the general neurotypical population might be occurring. Would you agree with that?
I'm afraid I'm not sure, because I can only speak from my own experience. For me, part of the problem was I was in the wrong program. Once I actually, despite this horrible experience, I turned right back around and went back to graduate school a few years later, this time pursuing an advanced degree in writing, as opposed to, at that time, genetics. And once I was back sort of in my comfort zone, everything started to come much more naturally to me in a way that I was able to go beyond just memorizing content and really see sort of like how rhetorical devices kind of worked at the next level, at sort of a meta level over the writing itself. And I think that's just because I have a knack for language. Some people have suggested that certain people on the spectrum are hyperlexic. Mm-hmm. Others are great pattern seekers. Others are really good with visuals. For me, language, really good with the English language. And so I think I just lucked into the right graduate program. Whether or not autistic students in general have trouble getting to the analytical level, I'm not sure if I'm qualified to answer that or not. It certainly might be a factor, but I'm not sure.
Well, no, I think you've raised an important issue, which is how individual the experience of being on the spectrum is. And this is a recurring theme even on this program. You know, that classic line: if you know a person with autism, you know one person with autism. And as you described the variability, I think that resonates for anybody listening to the show. You know, when you described your experience, you referenced some compensatory strategies and way of being in the world that were no longer fully reliable to you in graduate school. What do you mean? What were some of the compensatory efforts that you were making in graduate school or before?
For me, mostly it was that I can memorize a lot of stuff. So I relied on being able to memorize huge amounts of content without having to, as you said, think analytically about it. And I don't know if that's autism, although other autistics have reported similar abilities of being able to memorize huge amounts of information for them to utilize, you know, in their social interactions by memorizing social interactions.
You know, we're moving to a break, and what I was really thinking of especially, though, is that issue of masking that you speak to very directly on your site and the blog as a compensatory strategy and your experience of it. And I have a feeling that's going to ring true for a lot of our listeners. So, you know, we're moving to a break. You know, you're listening to Christine M. Kondo, who herself is on the spectrum, a writer and advocate. When we come back, we'll talk about her experience on the spectrum.